Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. We thank God for another good morning that God has given us. And by the grace of God, we've been looking at, you know, the end times and, you know, study of the end times and looking at the message that God gave John, who was a disciple of Jesus, the Revelator. And remember, at this time, he was in the island of Patmos, and this refers to a place where he was taken to exile because they had tried by all means to kill him, but they were unable to. And then what we have been able to see is that, you know, while he was in the island of Patmos, he was able to meet Jesus, and Jesus gave him a message to the seven churches. But then after the message was given to the seven churches, one day he is in the spirit and the Lord tells him, come up hither. Or come up higher, and God says, I will show you the things which must come forth. And when God does that, he takes him, he gives him a vision of heaven. He sees the one seated on the throne. He sees the lamb that has been slain, He sees, you know, the sevenfold spirit of God. He sees the living creatures. He sees the throne of God. He sees the angels. He sees, you know, the incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And he sees all the worship of God that is taking place in the heavens. And when he sees that, then he sees that the one who sits on the throne is holding a scroll. And the scroll had seven seals. Remember when the Bible tells us that no one knows the day or the hour by which the, you know, the Father has set by his own authority. Even Jesus at that time said, not even the Son. But you see, all those things were written in the scroll. But you see, the Bible says that no one was found worthy to open the scroll. And that is why John cried out and he wept. John wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll. But you see, the one of the angel 24 elders tells him, weep not, because the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed. The lamb has prevailed, and he is worthy to take the scroll. And so we are able to see that Jesus is able to take the scroll. And we've seen that the scroll is a representative of the things that will come forth in the future, of the future that is to come. And what is the future? These are the signs that lead us to the end times. So the one who seated on the throne, who is God the Father himself, he has the scroll that has the seven seals. But then Jesus, because he was crucified and he has prevailed, he has the authority and is able to pick the scroll. So, and when he takes the scroll, then he starts to open the seals. And so we've been looking at the seven seals, and we've seen the first six seals, and where we've seen that the first seal, a white horse with its rider, went out, and we said that represents the apostolic church and the message, you know, of the first church when they go out in victory, and how Christ overcame, he rode as a conqueror. Then we saw the second seal, which was a red horse. And this represents the persecution of the church. And we know that in the Roman Empire, Emperors Constantine and all that, they started to kill the believers and to persecute the church, and the church was in turmoil. Then the third, you know, seal that we see represents scarcity, represents inflation, you know, where the ways will be, you know, you'll buy a day's wages, you'll only buy a wheat of bread, or, you know, barley bread, three loaves, and it shows us there will be a scarcity of the work of God. And in history, when we see that, that refers to the dark ages, you know, the period where the word of God was scarce. And then we've seen the fourth seal, which represents the pale horse of death. And this is where we see that the angel was given a power to kill, you know, a third of the world, and kill with the sword, to kill with death, to kill with hunger. And this tells us of the intolerance of the believers, where the believers will start being persecuted. And even that is reflected in the fifth seal, where we see that their souls crying under the altar of God. And they ask, how long, you know, will you avenge for us? Because, you know, the martyr's blood cries out to God. And remember, if even the blood of Abel cried out to God, you know, for justice, but then even the martyrs who are killed, and this, you know, we see the cushion of the church, and God says, just hold on until the full number is met, you know, until the number is met of the martyrs. So until that happens, then we see now the sixth seal, where we see there's a great earthquake, there is sun and moon falling, there is stars falling, we see what were representatives of the meteorites and, you know, the earthquakes, and we say that all these are signs, are birth pains representing the end, and the end will not yet come until the gospel is preached to the nation. So now in the seventh seal is now where we now go and see, before the seventh seal, we see in Revelation chapter 7, where God starts to preserve his people, where the Bible says that, and this is what we looked at yesterday, that an angel appeared, coming from the east, with this, carrying the seal of the living God. And this we said, you know, as the beast will have his own mark, God will also have his own seal. And the seal, he will, you know, and the angel which coming, you know, the with the seal of God, he will shout to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, and told them, wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the forehead of his servants. And the Bible says, and I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. 12,000 from Judah, 12,000 from Reuben, 12,000 from Gad. This was in Revelation chapter 7. 12,000 from Asher, 12,000 from Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, from Joseph, and from Benjamin. So you see, there are some religions which will try and tell you that, oh, okay, only 144,000 will be saved, you know, because they use this, you know, this portion of scripture. But for me, this portion of scriptures represents the redeemed, that, you know, that God will also pick from the Israelites. He'll also pick from the Israelites, you know, 144,000, because remember, they've rejected God. They've, you know, they've turned away from God, and, you know, they're doing their own things as a nation. But you see, when God will want to preserve his people, he'll preserve his servants, but even of the Israelites, they will be preserved. But you see, there is more that will be saved. And you can see in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 7, it says, and after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. You know, you can see a great multitude of people which no man could count, of all nations, all kindreds, all peoples, all tongues, standing in the front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and all the elder around the elders and the four living creatures or living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshipped God. And they sang, amen, blessing and glory and honor and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God. And then someone asked, then one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these clothed in white? Where did they come from? And I said, sir, you're the one who knows. Then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in the front of God's throne and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter, and they will never again be hungry or thirsty, for they will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now remember, we are in between the sixth and before even the seventh trumpet is sounded. And remember, when we speak, when God uses the number seven, it means the completion, the fullness of times, you know. So before the seventh trumpet is sounded, we are now, remember, we are in the tribulation period. We are in the last 7 years before Christ comes. And so this is a period where between the sixth and the seventh trumpet is sounded. And what I believe, we are almost in the completion of the sixth trumpet, where we are seeing all the earthquakes, we are seeing the signs of the end, we are seeing the meteorites, we are seeing, you know, the torture, we are seeing the martyrdom. We are basically experiencing the first six trumpets. But you see now, before the seventh trumpet is sounded, before the seventh seal is open, before the completion of the seventh judgment, the final judgment of God, what we see is that in the contents of the seventh seal, we actually have other components that come in. So in the component of the seventh seal, remember the seal is the opening of the book. So as the book is opened, there are also aspects that are there. And we'll be able to see that there within the seventh seal, it is a bit longer than the others. There are seven trumpets which are sounded, which are judgments, which come over the great tribulation period. And remember, by this time, God has sealed his people. God has taken out his church. So those who refused to repent, you know, those who are under judgment, those who have the mark of the beast, are actually now those who are going to go through the tribulation period and the great tribulation period of the judgments of the seven, you know, the seven trumpets. And then within even the seven trumpets, in the seventh trumpet, there is also seven thunders. But the seven thunders are not really revealed, because when he wanted to write, he was told, no, don't write, it is closed up. So I just wanted you to have the picture. We have the seven seals, we have the book or the scroll, which is the book that tells us of the times and the end times, the hand of God. Only Jesus has the authority because he's prevailed. He takes the book. He now opens the seals. He opens six of them. And then now we are now in the place where before the seventh seal is open. And we're in Revelation chapter 8. And we will read. And the Bible says, when the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So you can see, even in heaven at times there can be silence. And verse 2 says, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven trumpets. So then another angel with a gold incense banner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him with the prayer to mix with the prayers of the saints of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people and ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them. Then the angel filled the incense banner with the fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth, and thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. So we can see now the seventh seal is open, and we can see that the seven angels are given seven trumpets. And so now when they're given seven trumpets, they now start to release the seven trumpets. So the seven angels with the seven trumpets began to blow their mighty blasts. The first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood were thrown down on the earth. And one third of the earth was set on fire, one third of the trees were burned, and all the grass was burned. So we can see the first angel starts, and remember, this is now judgment that is taking place in the second 3.5 years. This is the great tribulation period. So now these are the people who are under the beast, who have taken the mark of the beast, who now are under judgment. And remember also, the church will be taken, but there will be those who we call the tribulation saints, those who have believed in that period, those who, you know, people will still be born in that time. So there are people who will be born. So we can see now the judgment happens. So the first trumpet is hail and fire. These are meteorites coming, and they now start to burn, and fire is on the earth. Then verse 8 says, the second angel blew his trumpet, and a great mountain of fire was thrown into the sea. One third of the water in the sea became blood, and one third of the living things in the sea died, and one third of all the ships on the sea were destroyed. So we can see judgment is happening. There's judgment on the land in the first trumpet. Then in the second trumpet, we see there's also judgment on the water. And remember, these are like now like plagues. You can think of how God destroyed Egypt and Pharaoh and Judge Pharaoh. So we are seeing a similar repeat of the judgment that was put on Egypt now will happen also in the end time. So what we see now, these are judgments that are taking place for the people who rejected God and the people who are in the Great Tribulation period. They're going through this judgment. Then verse 10, we see that then the third angel blew his trumpet and the great star fell from the sky, burning like a torch. It fell on one third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was bitterness or wormwood, if you look at the other version, and it made one third of the water bitter, and many people died from drinking the bitter water. So we can see even the water becomes poison. You drink water, you die. Then verse 12 says, then the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and one third of the sun was struck, and one third of the moon, and one third of the stars, and they became dark. And one third of the day was dark, and also one third of the night. So you can see there's also judgment on the elements. And for me, I'm thinking it's God is also expressing his judgment on what people believe are their gods. Because people look at the earth, they look at the trees, they look at the forest as their god, they worship God. They look at the sea, they look at sea creatures, you know, the mermaids and all those things, and they worship them. Then there are also those who consider rivers as their gods, and they worship, you know, water, you know, like how the Egyptians were judged. And then you can see also now the sun and the moon, a third of them, and the stars are destroyed. And those who worship the stars, all their gods are being judged. And it's having impact on the people in the tribulation period. Verse 13, it says, then I looked, and I heard a single eagle crying loudly as it flew through the air. It says, terror, 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 or woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants, to those who belong to this world, because of what will happen when the last three angels blow their trumpet. So what we see is that first four angels execute judgment, but then now, between the fourth and the fifth trumpet, there is now what we call a warning about the wars. And so the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet are actually called the wars. Eh? The wars. So because they're the wars. Yeah. So the wars, there are three wars, which are the fifth, sixth, and seventh, which are now like judgments and terror that is given now to the people who are going through the Great Tribulation period. Now we're in chapter 9 of Revelation. And it says, then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw that a star had fallen from the sky, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. When he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the light and the sunlight and the air turned dark from the smoke. Then the locusts came from the smoke and descended on the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass or the plants or the trees, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were told not to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months with pain like the pain of a scorpion skin sting. In those days, people will seek death but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. Verse 7, the locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. They had what looked like gold crowns on their heads. Their faces looked like human faces. They had hair like women's hair and teeth like the teeth of a lion. They wore armor made of iron, and their wings rode like army of chariots rushing into battle. They had tails that stung like scorpions, and for 5 months they had power to torment people. Their king is the angel from the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon, the destroyer. The first terror is past, but look, two more terrors are coming. So you can see how now the judgment becomes now serious. A star which represents a fallen angel, one of the angels that have been judged, and he goes and he releases. He opens the bottomless pit. You can imagine where the angels were thrown, because you know the different angels were cast from heaven, and even Satan was not the strongest because they were more wicked. Those ones were tied. Those ones were locked in the bottomless pit. Satan was only a deceiver, so his greatest strength is deception. But now these angels that are more wicked than the devil, than Lucifer, when they come out, you can see now they are releasing scorpions. Not really scorpions, sorry, locusts. And we are being description of these locusts. They have the face of a human being. They have crowns. They have teeth like lions. They have, they sting like... They are given sting like scorpions, and they torment people for 5 months. And they had, you know, their body was like made of iron, and their wings was like chariots, and they stung people. But they were not given the authority to sting believers, those who have the mark of the Lord, the seal of the Lord. Then verse 13 tells us the second war. So now that's the first terror. So, and this time you see the Bible tells us you will long to die, but you cannot die. People will look for death, but death in itself will run away from you, allow you to be tormented. Verse 13, it says, then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the four horns on the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River. Then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were turned loose to kill 1/3 of all the people on the earth. And I heard the size of their army, which was 200 million troops and 200,000 and thousands, 200 million troops. And in my vision, I saw the horses and the riders sitting on them. The riders wore armor that was fiery, dark blue and yellow. The horses had heads like lions, and fire and smoke and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths. 1/3 of all the people were killed by these plagues, by the fire and smoke and burning sulfur that came out of the mouths of these horses. Their power was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails had heads like snakes with the power to injure people. But the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold and silver, bronze, stone and wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their thefts. I'm going to stop there because we are still going on, and tomorrow, by the grace of God, we'll be able to now see the seventh trumpet or the third war. But what do we see now? Basically, we are seeing that judgment is taking place, and we can see that the second terror or the second war or the sixth trumpet shows that, you know, four angels are released. They have a mighty army. They have horses that have heads of lion. They remove from their mouths, the power is in their mouth. They release fire, smoke, and burning sulfur, which are plagues on the earth. And power, you know, they are given power to injure the people. Their tails have head of snakes, and they torment people. But yet, despite all these punishments, despite all these tortures, all these torments, the Bible tells us that the people still did not repent. They did not repent. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. They did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their stealing. Look at the hardness of heart. And that's what happened, you know, when people have rejected the truth. There is no way that despite them being lost, they are just lost. and the way is hidden, and they desire to know it, but they still don't repent. Now, these are judgments that are taking place in the Great Tribulation period. I praise God that I believe that the church will be already raptured by this time, will not be here. But woe to the earth, woe to those who will be left behind, woe to those who will go through this tough period, because for sure it will not be easy. And what God is calling us to do is let us be faithful, let us be found faithful, let us be found ready to be taken when the Master comes. Yeah, so I'll stop there, my brother. You're welcome. You're welcome if you have any reflections. Go ahead.
No reflection.
Okay.
No reflection.
Okay, no, it is well. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. We thank you. The Lord, you keep warning us. You keep teaching us. You keep telling us that indeed this life is ours to live, but according to your rules, according to your pattern, and according to us putting our faith in you. And I pray that, Lord, may we be found worthy. May we not be relaxed. May we not just forget that there is judgment that is coming. And indeed, as you have started to open the seals, and as the seals are open, and we know that indeed the seventh seal is open, and we know and we believe that it is the times of judgment are here with us. I plead your mercies. I plead that, Lord, may we not be found unworthy in such a time, that even them that do not know you, may they repent and be committed to you, O God, because you are a Father that knows our hearts. You know the things that keep us from you. Cleanse us, O God. Help us, O God, that we continue to trust in you. I remember our family members, our brothers, our sisters, our spouse, our children, indeed our relatives, our fathers and mothers, and everyone that concerns us, O God, we thank you. That, Lord, may you be with them. May your hand be praised. Remember even all our workplaces, the people that we serve in the various places. We pray for your wisdom, your grace, your power, and your mercy. Help us, O God, that we may be led and guided by you and directed and taught by you in every way, O God. Even as we go ahead to do the things that we need to do, may you go ahead of us, keep us, and sustain us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day. Bye.
Thank you.